Dear God, thank you for Pastor John and all the ministries he's done over the years for you, dear God, and just continue to bless him and his family. And as he's here this morning, dear God, I just ask that you just speak through him and that we really hear from you what you have for us to hear this morning. Amen.
Well, thank you so very much. It was wonderful to be able to hear all those parts being sung once again in a congregation. Too many congregations don't have that kind of singing going on. And I found out firsthand this morning what it's like to sing with a mask on. The church we were attending, we were on the worship team, so we don't have to wear the mask, so we can sing without that hindrance. And boy, I was short of breath with that mask on. That makes it very hard to sing. Anyway, it's good to be here with you. It feels like we've come home, and you've made us feel very at home here this morning. On March 4th, Sharon, Melissa, my sister Marilyn, and I arrived home from North Dakota. We had traveled down there it was a sad time. We traveled down there to say goodbye to my sister Joyce. She had passed away from cancer. And it had been some time since we had been down there, about 3 years. And you can only imagine how much hugging and other things like that were going on, not only to reacquaint ourselves with one another, but to comfort one another during that very trying time. When we arrived at home, we said goodbye to Marilyn, sent her on her way back to Medicine Hat, and we also said goodbye to our daughter. Little did we know that that would be the last time we would hug someone for a very long period of time. Melissa, from that point on, said she could no longer come to our home. She works at Misericordia Hospital in the emergency department, and so she felt she didn't want to expose us at all to any kind of the possibility of getting infected. So for the next few months, the only contact we had with her was via the phone or via texting. And I guess during the 3 months, we had at least three times we went over to her apartment building, and she came out and we walked around the neighborhood 6 feet apart from one another. But that was the only contact we had for that long period of time. It wasn't until Mother's Day that Melissa finally came to our home, and I finally received my first hug from her on Father's Day. You can't believe how wonderful it felt to receive a hug from this daughter that I love so much. I believe many of you here this morning know I'm a person who loves to hug. Other than Sharon and Melissa, I have hugged very few people in the last 5 months. I miss those hugs. At our church, we've gone from being a hugging church to one of those blasé churches that simply give the old elbow bump, and that's about all we get from one another. I miss those hugs. Well, this morning, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that centers on an individual who desperately needed the touch of another human being. Only in this case, he had the pleasure of being touched by the very hand of God, by Jesus. What an outstanding moment that must have been for him, going from being unable to be touched by everyone else to being touched by his Creator, Jesus. Our story that we're going to look at this morning is found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to that passage of Scripture. I'll read it for you right now. You can follow along and read along with me. It says, "When he came down from the mountainside, the large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man, saying, 'I am willing.' He said, 'Be clean.' And immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, 'See that you don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we know that this was an event, a very, very glorious event that you experienced while you were here on this earth. Lord, the change that occurred that day was phenomenal. I pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would just help each one of us now to just somehow place ourselves in that particular event. Help us to see our own lives in the context of that event, and help us to see the joy that came because you, Jesus, were there and you brought healing that was desperately needed. Holy Spirit, just speak to us now as we listen in. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. This man was the ultimate outcast of his day. We didn't know anything about him other than he was called a leper. He makes one appearance, he utters one request, and he receives one phenomenal touch from Jesus. From that one touch, his life was changed forever. Now, we can only imagine what his life was like prior to that moment. I believe his life probably started out just like yours and mine. He probably was even married. He might have even had children. But then, one day, he began to feel a numbness began to occur in his hand. And as time went on, that numbness became even greater. And then one day, he looked down and he noticed his hand was bleeding profusely. So he went home, went into the house, he got out the wash basin, and started to wash his hand. His wife was standing nearby and she motioned and said, "It's on your clothes also." At that moment, both he and his wife knew their lives were going to be changed forever. His wife probably volunteered to go with him to see the priest, but he simply determined to go alone. But before leaving, he turned and looked into her very moist eyes. He then probably squatted down and looked into his daughter's eyes and stroked her hair one last time and said nothing. What could he say? What could he say? He then got up and turned and touched his wife's shoulder one last time with his good hand, knowing it would be their last touch. And then he walked out. And when he walked out, it was like walking into complete darkness. You see, folks, in the New Testament times, leprosy was the most dreaded disease This condition literally rendered their body a mass of ulcers and decay. Most lepers' fingers were curled and gnarled. Their skin would decay and stink. Sometimes a leper would even lose a hand or a foot. Folks, they literally died by inches. Their social consequences were as painful as the physical ones. Seen as being contagious, and we can understand this, they were quarantined and banished to a leper colony. Not nearly as drastic, a lot more drastic than what you and I are facing right now. And if this leper ever left the colony, they literally had to wear a cowbell around their neck to warn everyone else they were on the road. The scriptures make it clear that the leper is symbolic of the outcast, ultimate outcast. These poor individuals were infected by a disease they did not seek. They were rejected by those who loved them, and they were avoided by the people that they did not know, and they were condemned to a future that was drastically hard to bear. Folks, they knew the life they once loved, it was gone forever. Now, none of us here this morning, thankfully, have to worry about leprosy. But I believe probably each and every one of us have gone through some very difficult circumstance in the past, or maybe at this very moment you're going through some difficult situation, which is equally disheartening. You might presently feel lost, without much hope. The joy of life that you once had or experienced, it has disappeared. Being on Facebook, I know some of you have gone through some very difficult circumstances, such as the loss of a loved one, or you're fighting with cancer. Some of you here this morning might have lost your source of income because of the pandemic. Whatever your circumstance might be this morning, I want all of us to just take a moment to stop and reflect and ask this simple question. What is the biggest issue you are personally struggling with this morning? What is that biggest issue? And I want you to silently name that issue in your mind. Lift it up into your mind and present it to Jesus. Whatever your circumstance might be, that one which is robbing you of your joy for living, I want you now to place your eyes upon our text of this of Scripture this morning, and I want you to listen in as to how this man found hope, how this man found meaning in his life. Once again, ultimately, folks, he turned to the one that every one of us should turn to, and that was Jesus. He placed his faith and hope in Jesus. Now, what steps did he take? Well, number one, we can conclude he grew tired of remaining in that same condition he found himself in. Now, although it's not mentioned in our passage, I'm confident this man had occasionally left the leper colony and traveled towards his home in hopes that he would catch one more glimpse of his wife or his daughter. Or maybe he even wanted to observe what was happening with his farm. And after seeing them, he dearly longed for them much more than he ever had before. It forced him, folks, to want to change his circumstances. He was tired of not having what was once his own. Thankfully, he lived in the time that God's Son Jesus was living on the earth. He had heard bits and pieces of information about Jesus. Someone had told him that Jesus performed miracles, Jesus had healed diseases, and Jesus was doing many other miraculous things. He probably thought to himself, God, You have allowed this calamity to come upon my body. Therefore, God, you can either fix this body of mine or end my life. One of the two. I don't care. Just do something. So our text suggests he strategically stationed himself along a pathway, the very pathway which Jesus was traveling down that day. What he was doing was reckless. Certainly, it was risky. But he figured, what did he have to lose? He knew Jesus claimed to be God's son, therefore he reasoned, either Jesus will hear my complaint and kill me, or he will accept my demands and heal me. Folks, our circumstances, the one that you might find yourself living through right now, it will never change unless you are willing to grow tired of that situation and start looking for a way in which you can change things around for your good. It won't happen, trust me. I know fully for sure for myself. Now, we know Christ is no longer physically living on this earth like he was in that day. However, we do know Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus ascended into heaven. He is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he is doing what? He is interceding for each one of us. Jesus is still the Savior of mankind. Jesus is still the head of the church. Jesus still offers forgiveness. Jesus still is willing to extend healing, hope, and change to those who seek his face and ask for his help. And that's what the leper did in our text. He took a risk. He found Jesus, believing he could help him. Look again at what verse 1 says. It says, when he, that's a reference to Jesus, when he, Jesus, came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And then it simply slips in, a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. This suggests this leper had grown tired of a circumstance, so he looked for a way in which he could change his situation. And where did he go? He came to Jesus. Folks, Jesus was his answer. Are we tired of our circumstances? Jesus is also our answer. If our circumstances in life need to be changed, there's only one person to look to for help, and that is Jesus. Can you utter that name in your mind? Jesus? Jesus? Can you whisper it this morning? Jesus? So the first step he took, he grew tired of remaining in his wretched condition. Secondly, he stepped out in faith and he was healed. Oh, what a day that must have been. As soon as he rushed out on the road and kneeled at the feet of Jesus, a great uproar occurred. As he stepped out from behind a rock, a flood of fear just swept across the entire crowd. Arms flew up in front of faces. Children were quickly pushed behind their parents. Panic broke out everywhere. Everyone started crying out, unclean, unclean, unclean. This man had heard that cry, that response 1,000 times before. They all stepped back. Except Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, it was just Jesus and the leper standing face to face. And when he looked at Jesus, he didn't see the same fear in his eyes. Instead, he saw love. And compassion. Love and compassion. He soon came to recognize Jesus hated this disease as much as he hated that disease. The leper's rage quickly became one of trust. His anger became one of hope. Jesus quickly stepped toward him. You know, Jesus could have simply spoken words and kept his fingers off the leper that he was going to heal. But look at the compassion of Jesus. Instead, he stepped forward and he reached out his hand and he touched the man and he said, "I am willing. Be clean." Remember, this man hadn't been touched for a very long time. Now Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. If there ever was a Midas touch, this was it. Now I know many of you probably don't understand that in that little joke, but those who are my age or older, you know, back in our day when we were younger, there was that advertisement about the Midas touch. Well, this was one of those Midas touches. That touch of Jesus brought about a life-changing result. One can only imagine what it was like. Folks, I can tell you, I have a glimmer of what it was like. I have personally experienced a miracle from Jesus myself. It was back in the late 1980s. When I was pastoring there at Richmond Park Church, as Jeff said, we had a James Robinson crusade in the city of Edmonton. And I was one of the pastoral prayer captains for that week of meetings. Every night, we would have a time of prayer at the front of the auditorium where people would come and pray, and we would go and pray with them and pray over them. On Friday evening, James Robinson decided to have a time of prayer for healing. As the invitation was given, people started coming up, and I soon recognized that there were more prayer captains up there to pray than there were people who wanted to be prayed for. So there I was, thinking to myself, man, I need prayer. My shoulders at that time were filled with bursitis or arthritis, I don't know what it was, but they were filled with pain, so much so that I couldn't even lift this arm any higher than this. That was the extent. So I went and stood in front, and in a few moments, someone came up and laid their hand on my right shoulder and started praying. Just moments later, I literally felt the warm touch of God come and start pouring through my hair. My hair literally stood. It felt that way anyway. And that warmth just went right through my entire body, right through my toes. And folks, in just those few short seconds, my pain was gone, and from that point on, I was able to raise my arms and praise the Lord for his wonderful healing in my life. And I've never had pain in those shoulders ever again. It was gone, completely gone. I also remember a time in my last pastorate when a dear elderly lady by the name of Regina Hughes came forward one Sunday morning after the service asking for prayer. She had cancer. And so she asked the elders of the church, myself, Sharon, and a few of her friends to pray over her that Sunday morning after the service had been completed. We gathered at the front of the church. We made a circle around her and began to pray. And folks, just like that moment I had when I was healed, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Regina. So much so that she literally fell to the floor. And there she laid just praising Jesus. She was immediately healed that day. She went later to the doctor, and the doctor confirmed her cancer was completely gone. Folks, that's just a glimmer of what this man experienced in our text. This same Jesus who healed the leper still behaves and reacts like he chose to respond to the leper on that day. He hates cancer as much as we do. He hates broken relationships as much as we do. He hates our hardships that we're going through right now as much as we do. And I believe he wants us to experience joy and the fullness of right life again right now. His desire is for each one of us to be happy and contented with our lives right now. That requires us to take a step of faith and to reach out and to put our trust and belief in Jesus that he can help bring us victory no matter how or what kind of circumstance we find ourselves in. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment that he will automatically heal every last one of us of our cancer or restore every one of our broken relationships if we pray. I can't guarantee that. But what I can do is tell you, Jesus will choose to undergird your heart. And he will give you the wisdom and the understanding in regards to your predicament. And he'll help you find the victory and the joy and the peace you're seeking for. In the last 6 years, I've had 7 very close friends and relatives die of cancer. One was an elder in my previous church. Another one was a deacon. Another one was my administrative assistant and her husband. They died within days of one another of cancer. And then my sister-in-law, one of my favorite sister-in-laws, and finally my sister Joyce. In each one of those cases, folks, I prayed over those individuals. I wanted them to be healed of their cancer. But each time, Jesus said no. However, I can tell you this. In each one of those cases, these individuals went home victorious in Jesus. Jesus, for some reason, believed they all needed to come home to him. And I, for one, couldn't begrudge Christ's plan. Christ gave me peace each time. Now, the hardest situation was the last one concerning my dear sister Joyce. Joyce was a gem, and I think some of you probably know her and have met her. She had just one of those very loving spirits. She loved Jesus, and she followed a faith journey like I did, and so we had that very natural bond with one another. I can tell you, ever since I left home back in 1978 to move up to Canada to go to Bible college and then become a pastor up here, Joyce came to visit me every last year to spend time with me. We had a bond that very few people had. We called one another probably once or twice a month. Always talking about the Lord, always sharing prayer requests with one another. So when she got cancer, it was a little bit more difficult. But in the end, Joyce was so ready to go. Her passionate love for Jesus was remarkable. She was always witnessing to her workmates, her family, and others. Sometimes maybe too far, because some of the nephews and nieces didn't like how much she shared with them. Yet, she was faithful to her Jesus. But in the end, Jesus still took her. The key for my victory I had to step out in faith. I had to believe that Jesus can extend to me his peace, which surpasses all understanding, and he definitely gave that to me. All of us need to understand, we need to commit ourselves to the will of Jesus. Commit ourselves to the body of Christ, and his family will undergird us and help us to find strength when we're going through those difficult times. So, the leper, first of all, he grew tired of remaining in his same condition. Secondly, he stepped out in faith and he was healed. Thirdly, he obeyed Jesus and became a witness. How was he healed? Well, the infection was obliterated by the words of Jesus. He said, "Be healed." And the infection disappeared. His loneliness, however, was treated by a touch from Jesus. I don't know about you, but I certainly love the power of a godly touch. After the touch, Jesus immediately gave him further instructions. In verse 4, it says, Jesus said, "Go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Why was this important? Because the leper had been declared unclean by the priest according to the Mosaic law. Now he had to be declared clean by the priest according to the Mosaic law. Every healed individual could not go back into public life until they had been proclaimed clean by the priest. Certainly, Jesus wanted this priest to hear how this man was healed. This helped Jesus establish his messiahship in this Jewish religious community. And ultimately, Jesus was glorified through this process. Now, the scriptures don't say anything as to what happened to this man after he was declared clean. But if he was married and if he did have a family, like I early suggested, I can only imagine what it was like for him running home, arriving at his door, knocking on the door, and his wife and children opened the door, and to their shock and to their joy, they saw the husband or the father totally clean, completely restored. In that home, God went from someone they could barely think about or talk about to someone they marveled about. They all became firm believers in Jesus. Folks, that's what occurs when you and I allow Jesus to bring change in our everyday issues in life. God is exalted. Jesus is lifted up. We are able to celebrate the goodness of God with one another, and others are influenced and impacted by that result. In the end, Christ is seen as the Son of God. When I was healed, Christ specifically prompted me through the power of the Spirit and told me, "John, you better tell your story every opportunity you have, because I want others to know what I have done for you. I want to be praised, and that I have done." Christ wanted me to help others understand that Christ is the Son of God. He is the Savior of mankind. So, in conclusion this morning, I want you to bow your heads. And I want you to go back to that biggest issue I had you name in your mind earlier in the sermon this morning. And I want you to go over those steps once more with me. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Are you tired of remaining in that condition you find yourself today? If so, I want each one of you right now to cry out to God in your mind and heart, declaring to him that what we are tired of letting this issue both rule our life and rob us of our life. Tell him that. Tell him also that you've been down in the dumps for far too long. Tell him also you're sorry that you have become ineffective for Christ and his kingdom because of your lack of victory over this very issue. Let's understand, folks, the leper understood. Jesus hated this issue as much as he did. Therefore, right this moment, let us also understand Jesus hates the issue that you're facing as much as you do. Secondly, the leper stepped out in faith and was healed. I want each one of us to lift this issue before Jesus in faith, believing he will lead you into victory this morning. Let us believe by the end of this day, we will start seeing circumstances change in our life and we'll see life in an entirely different way. Remember, folks, Jesus is the answer. Let him reach out this moment and allow him to touch you. Allow him to pour forth his healing power over you and onto you, starting from the top of your head, going through your whole body, right to the tip of your toes. And then finally, let's understand why Jesus wants this to happen. The leper obeyed Jesus and became a witness. Let us also understand the victory Jesus extends to us is one which he expects to use in bringing glory to himself. Let's commit ourselves to tell as many people as possible how Christ brought healing to your life. While your heads are bowed, I'd like you to sing along with me that song, There's Something About That Name. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Lord, we are sitting here in this sanctuary this morning, placing our complete focus on you. We know that you are our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend. You're the one who can bring healing. And Lord, as these folks have just lifted up before your throne this morning, whatever issue they are facing, I pray that you would give them the assurance that you have heard their prayer. I pray that you would reach out and touch them. Touch them in the most beautiful way you can, helping them to sense and know and experience in a fresh way the touch of God. Thank you, Jesus, for doing your will in each one of our lives. We submit to your will, and we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask these things in your name, Jesus.